Philippians chapter 3. If you're taking notes, the title is Imitating the Apostle Paul. And so I'm not going to stick in particular to Philippians 3, but kind of take you through Pauline epistles or even the book of Acts, to look at the life and person of Paul. Some of you are juniors, so last year you had Pauline epistles with me, and that's basically what we did throughout the whole year. And one thing that you're going to see, or you should see, I should highlight before you start reading, is that Paul uses key words like beloved and brothers that shows that he has this relationship with them. So I realize some of you've never had me as a teacher before. I realize some of you are new, some of you from different countries. And so we don't really have that connection or relationship. But in context to what we are going to communicate and talk about, I want you to realize that the person, Paul, who's writing these words, has a good, close relationship with this church, with these people. And just like all of you have somebody in your life that you trust, that you love, that you know has your back, Paul is that person for this group of people. And so as we, or the other pastors, cover this book, I want you guys to get that Paul loved these people. Like, he had their best interest in mind. Now, you guys know the theme this year, think, learn, and perform. And we get that from Philippians 4, where he basically says, in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So think, learn, perform. So I thought we could think about the life, person of Paul, learn from him, and then apply it to our lives. And he's going to tell us this in our reading today. So let's go ahead and start. Verse 14 of chapter 3. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul speaking or writing. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears. Okay, he doesn't write like that unless he cares about the people who have fallen away. With tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with mindset on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. If you haven't noticed, I see some of you got some pens out. What I like to do is, have you guys ever heard of the sandwich effect? Like when you're communicating, like for a coach, Andrew, like I did this for you guys. So Andrew's doing something that as a coach I don't like. And so I'm going, man, Andrew, you've been working really hard today, positive. And then I deal with the problem. Then I'm like, Andrew, don't do that. You know, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. But, Andrew, you're a good player. You see what I did? I just kind of pancaked. Okay, Paul kind of does this, and he groups or shows us two groups. The first group, 14 through 17,
I'm going to use a basketball illustration because I like basketball, so forgive me those who don't like basketball, but I'm going to go there. So 14 through 17 is Paul's team. Group one, those who will, what we see, are pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Those who are mature, they think this way. Verse 17, they imitate Paul. And then he takes us to 18 and 19, and we see a drastic change, don't we? Those who their God is their belly, meaning they're like after their own pleasures, they're not imitating Paul. They don't care about the things of God. They've fallen away from the faith. They've not endured. They're not content. And then he says in the next verse, he tells of their end. And their end is what? Destruction. But then he again returns to group one. And he tells us what our end is if we endure, if we imitate him. And that's strong language coming from Paul to say, imitate myself. But we see many of his writings, he's imitating who? Christ. All right, so I told you I'm going to use a basketball illustration. 11th and 12th grade, favorite team. My favorite team, extra credit question all the time. Utah Jazz. Okay, I told the freshmen, I told the sophomores. They didn't believe me at first. But it's the Utah Jazz, and this is why. I grew up watching John Stockton and Karl Malone. And I hated Michael Jordan. Because in the 97 and 98 finals, MJ just utterly destroyed the Utah Jazz. And so I remember being an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and I was watching John Stockton because I looked at my dad, I looked at my brothers, or brother, I looked at my uncles, and I realized I'm not going to be 6'10", so I can't be Karl Malone. I'm never going to be a post player in the NBA. So I realized, okay, who am I going to imitate?
John Stockton.
And so I started watching him, and I'd watch a game at night, and then the next day, right after school, I'd get home from the bus, and from 3:30 till about dinner time, if the weather permitted, I'd play basketball, and I would try to imitate everything John Stockton did the night before. And one thing, if you know about those two, is they basically perfected what? The pick and roll. I remember imitating, setting a chair, and I would use that. Could I go off the dribble, fake the dribble, drop back shot? Could I just go strong to the basket? Could I give it back? And I'd pretend pass because, you know, I don't have somebody playing with me. All right, so I fake pass. He passes his back shot. All right, and I would just imitate. How he dribbled. No look pass. Every once in a while, he'd do something behind the back. And I remember in practice as a 5th and 6th grader trying to go behind the back. And my coach making me go run afterwards because it goes out of bounds. But the point is this. Man, I paid attention to every minute detail. I wanted and I pretended to be John Stockton. And I'm going to give you an illustration, or I gave you an illustration for this point. I'm going to walk you through just a few things of what the Apostle Paul did. And what I think you would do yourself a huge favor, and it's in the Word of God, that we would imitate these characteristics, these things that Paul did. All right, so the first thing is this. Paul battled against sin. Will you guys turn to Romans 7? Romans 7 with me? We're going to flip through some pages. Like I said, we got 5 or 6 things we're going to go over. And I have a passage for each one. In Romans 7, verse 15, he says this, or you can just write it down. I'm going to read to you. Paul, the first thing we see, Paul battled against sin. If you're going to imitate Paul, you're going to battle sin, your flesh. 7:15 says this, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate.
skip to verse 18. He says this, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." 22 through 25 goes on to say this, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin, and dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin." And I don't want to confuse you, but I want to show you that even an apostle, the apostle Paul, who's probably, other than Christ, the prime example for us how to live our life. You know, half of the New Testament Bible by the Apostle Paul, about the Apostle Paul. And so he's just this prime character that we have as an example. And one thing that I see when I read Romans 7 is that Paul clearly had flesh. And what I mean when I say that is that he dealt with sin. And who in here deals with sin? All of us. All of us. But you have to be pragmatic, practical. For instance, you're going to have to deal with your sin and cut it off. It's like this. I was nice last night with the 10th graders, right? So I'm in bed. I went to bed at 11:30. But I never really got on them and went, "Hey, be quiet!" You know, nothing like that. I kind of let them do their thing. You know, whatever. I know they're having fun. And they weren't really bothering people like the 9th grade was, so I was good with that. 9th grade, girls, just to let you know, some of them have higher pitched screams than any of you guys. Right? Oh, you said you can tell them which one? Which one? I want to know. Donovan, already playing it. But Paul, to be successful and to endure and to have the leadership role that he had to have dealt with his sin appropriately. Guys, some of the best things that you can do as a 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade is to find a mentor, whether it's a father, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a teacher, a coach, and have some accountability. Because I'll tell you right now, when I was in high school and college, that was the best thing for me. Somebody I trusted, could relate to, and be honest with. Stuff I struggled with. Stuff that I'm dealing with. Questions I have. And ladies, the same would be true. So the first thing we see is that Paul battled against sin. Paul battled against sin. He realized who he was, a sinner saved by grace through faith. The second thing is Paul's content. Paul's content. Go back to Philippians 4. And we see, you guys know Philippians 4:13, right? It's like the perfect athlete's verse. Like, I can make as many threes rain because I can do what? All things through Christ. But if you see in context here, Paul is in jail. Like, he can't go nowhere without a soldier. Like, he is in prison. Yet, he's communicating in 11 through 13 that I'm going to be content with whatever I face, whatever I go through, whether I'm doing really well on top of the mountain, or whether I'm over here in prison, life really stinks, yet I'm to be what? Content. And how are you going to have content? How are you going to have content? Can somebody tell me how are you going to have content? Okay, somebody said Jesus. Okay, what about Jesus? What about our faith? Will allow us to have or be content.
Eternity in heaven.
Okay? Future hope. That's got to be it. Look at 20 and 21. What did we read about that group one, Paul's team, those who imitate me? Their end state is a glorified body with Christ, with God. And so you can be content in wherever you find yourself. Your first chapel speaker is a youth pastor who just found out he's going to need to leave the church because of financial reasons. And that very same week, he lost his 3-month son. Like, he died. So didn't really lose his job, but was told you're going to have to find another job. That same week, loses a son. And let's be honest, that's really hard. Like, I'm not a crier, but I remember crying as I'm holding my son, thinking, what on earth would I do if that happened? And I've seen Caleb, that's his name, man, he's content in Christ. Like, he's built me up, he's edified me, because of the way he's responded to suffering, hardship, something that would just be utterly ground-shaking to my faith if that happened to me. And seeing how he's responded, I thought, man, if I can imitate him. Okay, those who will be on Paul's team, his group, those who will endure will be content. And let's be honest, we like comfort, don't we? Yeah, that's the American dream. We like to be comfortable. We want it easy. And when we have that hardship, man, we don't like it. But if you talk to any professional athlete, when's usually the time they most grow? When it's hard? When it's difficult? You listen to interviews with Kevin Durant or LeBron James, and they'll tell you the times where it was really difficult, where basketball really shined in their life, that it drove them. And the same is true with Paul. He's content even in prison, writing a letter. He's utterly consumed about their benefit, their needs, rather than himself. This is another way we can imitate him. Okay, Paul, here's another one. Romans 9, we see that Paul loved others. Paul loved others. Romans 9, 1-3, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. See that language right there? For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You don't say something like that unless you love people. And let's be honest. The teachers, I want you to think of your past years in elementary, middle school, high school. The teachers that really stand out to you are the ones you had a relationship with. The ones who showed you kindness, love, compassion. They were relatable. They reached out to you outside of that core class. Am I right? I can tell you about Coach Getch, my coach in college. I went to public school. I grew up playing basketball, and never a coach was ever concerned about my private life. Like, you're on the basketball court, do basketball stuff, and that was it. That was the relationship, which I was fine with that. I love basketball. But then I go to college,
And Coach Getz wants to know about my walk with God. He wants to know my background. He wants to know my relationship with my dad. He's asking me, like, questions that I've never had an adult male ask me as an 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old. And I'm utterly convinced through that first season, Cameron, that Coach Getz cares about me. And outside of basketball, man, he was concerned about my life. So one way we can imitate Paul is that we love others. That we love others. Paul endured. Paul endured 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're still taking notes, you can write those down. Go to them later. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul endured. He persevered. Says this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abram or Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless bearings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, which usually when they stoned you, it was like a stoning to what? Death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys and danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city. You get the point. He's gonna keep going for a couple more verses. But the point is, Paul persevered, endured, stayed in the faith, stayed faithful to Christ, stayed faithful to the very Jews and Gentiles who are trying to kill him. Right? Who with me here will be honest? And you try to speak to a group of people about Christ, and then they stone you, and then you go back later. Come on. The reality, if something like that happens to us, we have a shift in motivation. All right, avoid that, people. All right, I'm done with the Gentiles at this point. All right, I'll go back to Israel, my homeland. I'll stay here. Wait, if I do that, they're trying to kill me too. So at that point, Paul, look at everything he went through. At that point, we'd be asking the questions, am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? Maybe there's another occupation that I could take. And, you know, no, Paul knows. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows the need. And all of these correlate with each other. Notice, he's enduring all this stuff because he loves people. He's enduring all this stuff, all this hardship, these problems, brings us to the next point and last point. He had purpose. Like, you don't go through what Paul went through unless you knew or you know your calling, your purpose in life. If I was to ask you guys, which I plan to for some of you in my history class, what's your purpose in life? Because I'll be honest, like going into college, like, I wasn't really, no adult asked me those questions. Nathan, what are you going to do? What's going to be worth it? Nathan, you believe in God. You believe in Christ. You believe that you're saved. What's going to count?
Paul had purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's going to tell us. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, these are his final words to probably could be argued one of the this person, Timothy, whom he loved like a son. And Paul, you could argue through this letter, he knows the end is near. So this is like, you know, I think of my grandpa, some of his last words just a few months ago to my grandma, to my mom. You know, those are important words, right? Now, a lot of us, we have loved ones. I think of Caleb and the conversation I had with him concerning his grandma this summer. Man, those last moments are precious. And Paul, in that moment, is showing forth, he's telling and communicating to Timothy that what I did with my life was worth it. The purpose, the goal that I set and lived out and endured and loving people, communicating the gospel, living it out so you guys can imitate, Timothy, you can imitate. Man, look at his words. Is that a guy with regrets? No, he's looking forward to it. Actually, he says to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Man, his attitude is, I know what I've done with my life. I know, Julian, what? I know it's been worth it. And I know I have reward. And this hope I have in Christ is soon to come. You know, I think of celebrities, I think of famous people, and usually their ending isn't the same. Usually the ending is, I wasted so much time. All of this is based on Paul's conversion. The fact of Jesus reaching in his life and saving him. Like, Paul's not going to have purpose. Paul's not going to love people. Paul's certainly not going to be the example. I mean, he was a religious terrorist killing people before he was converted. So he's not, that Paul is not the person we follow. Okay, but this Paul that I just gave these passages to you and went through these examples, these characteristics, that's the Paul that was transformed by the Holy Spirit. That's the Paul who came to the realization of who he was without Christ. Sinner that needed a Savior. And you don't need a Savior, you don't need saving, unless you realize that there's a holy and just God, a creator of the universe who has the power and authority. Yeah, I'm the children's pastor, and I tell my kids almost weekly about the bad news and good news. Like, you guys have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? All of you say, yeah, of course. Like, gospel means good news. And you don't have good news unless you have bad news. And the bad news is that you're a sinner. And God's holy and sinless. But it doesn't end there. And this is where the gospel, the good news, comes in. And Paul realized that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. God's plan of redemption. And Paul was saved. He realized Christ was sinless. He was the God-man. He came to this world to die for the sins of this world. And he was the perfect sacrifice. He took the wrath of the Father on Paul's behalf.
what's Paul's responsibility to this good news, like it is for any of us. To respond to that is with repentance, the realization of who I am, a turning from sin, my flesh, and turning to God, or Christ specifically, the person and work of Christ, and putting one's faith, trust, and belief in what Christ did. He died for your sin. He was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And Paul was saved and transformed. And in that, you have a starting point to where now you can battle against sin. Now you can be content in Christ. Now you have purpose. Now you can love others the way Christ has what? Loved you. So the question is this, are you imitating Paul? You know, I use the basketball illustration. Are you on Paul's team? Because in verse 17 of chapter 3, he's telling the Philippians, imitate me. Imitate me. And guys, gals, Paul is worth imitating. And if you live a life in imitation of Paul, who likewise was imitating Christ, you will have lived a good life. In 20 and 21 of Philippians, chapter 3, is going to be your end state. But our citizenship is in heaven. From it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. That's a lot better end state than the prior group. The group who doesn't imitate Paul. The people who their belly, their flesh, is their God. You know, pleasures now. You know, I'm going to put myself first. I'm not really going to love others. I'm going to really just love myself. I'm not really content. Like, I'm going to complain. And I'm going to hate every little hardship. Okay. Are you going to be imitators of Paul? Are you going to be on the other team, the other group? Those two verses in the middle where he hits that negative context. And what's their end state? Destruction. And the most important thing we can tell you is to tell you about the gospel. And that gospel is powerful to save you. And that same gospel sustains you and enables you to be imitators of Christ, which was what Paul was. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak and just give a little bit about the person and life of Paul. I just thank you for his example. I thank you for all of his writings and all of the New Testament that we have on the person and life of Paul that just reflects so much the likeness of Jesus Christ. We see he wasn't a perfect man, that he battled with sin, but he battled with it nonetheless. He never gave in. He never abided in this, in his sin, in flesh. Lord, help us to imitate these characteristics so that we can bring and give you honor and glory that you rightfully deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.